Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Mark with Pastor Dave. In the midst of the pandemic, Pastor Dave began the book of Mark, and it couldn't have come at a better time. Amidst a world full of confusion and turmoil, the book of Mark centers us on the hope of the gospel. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave as we begin the book of Mark.
And devotional type style talks or whatever it would be, but nothing compares to just opening God's word and asking God's spirit to fall on it as he is doing now and as he always does. And he wants to speak to us a word in season tonight. There is good news. There is great news. Anglo-Saxon is really great, where we get this word from, even the Greek derivative from the Anglo-Saxon. It speaks of greater than good. It's a spectacular news that's attached to the God-man, Jesus Christ. And it's no wonder that Mark, who's also called John Mark, as you study scripture, he's surnamed Mark, but John Mark, it's no wonder that he is thinking of this as he begins to pen this gospel. He's most likely with Paul in Rome. Paul's at the end of his life. And Paul would write to the church in Rome previously to Mark writing this gospel here in Romans 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, the great news of Jesus Christ. For it has, the gospel, the power unto salvation for all those who would believe. It's for everybody. And I'm thinking as Mark is writing these things, filled with God's Spirit, he's being overwhelmed because he is a recipient of God's grace. If you're not familiar with this man, he shows up in the book of Acts. His name is mentioned in Colossians and Philemon. His name is mentioned by Paul and Timothy. But where he goes wrong is in the beginning of his spiritual career, if you would. Where he goes wrong is in the middle of the book of Acts, where he really becomes known by so many as the unfaithful servant. He's a man who is related to a guy that God was using greatly alongside of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was no slouch. The Apostle Paul was militant in the faith. He was hardcore. And he was paired up with who would be Mark's uncle Barnabas. And there's this tagging along with Barnabas and Paul of John Mark in a missionary journey. He's a younger guy. I've already stated that. He goes with these guys, Paul being this zealot for the Lord, just on fire for the Lord, being used by the Lord to turn the world upside down for the glory of God. And as he's on this journey, something happens. We don't have the details. Where it causes John Mark to flee from Paul and Barnabas and to go back home to his mama. The Bible doesn't say that, but it would tell us as we move through that his mother would be a wealthy woman who would own a home in Jerusalem where the church would meet and congregate in the New Testament times. Many believe that it was her home that had the upper room that housed the apostles and Mary, the mother of Jesus, at Pentecost. So it's interesting what he comes from, wealth, of course. And perhaps that played into the whole reasoning for him leaving and going back home. Maybe it was too hard for him. Maybe it was too intense. Maybe the warfare was too difficult in following Jesus the way that Paul was following Jesus. And he leaves. And by so many of man's standards, he fails. He blunders greatly. He blows it so much so that after he does this, Barnabas says to Paul, hey, let's take him with us on the next journey. And Paul says, yeah, right. I'm not taking him with you. He's a pansy, you know, in so many of words, of course. Yeah, I'm not taking him. It's not going to happen. And there's this contention so much with the son of consolation, Barnabas. If you've got contention with Barnabas, you know it's a hot topic. So much so that Paul takes Silas and he goes his way, and Barnabas pairs up with his nephew, John Mark, whose mom was his sister, and they go their way. So here's a guy who's writing some 20 years or so after that experience. It's the oldest gospel. It's the first gospel to be written. It's also the first gospel that Wycliffe translates because of its power and impact and brevity when they translate the scripture. And here he is sitting down, not copying from anybody else, not trying to be near to what's already been written, but sitting there with the Holy Spirit and, I believe, his mentor, his father in the faith, who's also been a failure, Peter. And he says, oh, the good news of Jesus Christ. The Roman Empire, not a lot of good news. Hates Christians so much so that Peter has to refer to Rome as Babylon in his epistle. He had to disguise what he was speaking of because the persecution was so strong and hot towards Christians. I mean, they were hated. They were being forced to renounce their faith. But he sits there and he says, man, in the midst of this antichrist culture, in the midst of this chaos and insanity, whether it be with Peter that he's sitting with at this time or Paul, both were recipients of God's grace. One was a religious zealot that killed Christians. That would be Paul, who was Saul before God saved him. And one was one who said, I would never deny you, Peter, to Jesus. Even if all these other men who are following you deny, I will never deny. And didn't just do it once, but did it twice in one evening. Both recipients of grace. He went out and wept bitterly. He failed Jesus greatly, just like John Mark failed Jesus' servant Paul. And maybe he's sitting with one of them at this time. As he's writing these things, he says, the good news of Jesus Christ. How God became man and stepped onto the scene, stepped into time, space, and matter. Took on human flesh, never forfeiting his deity, but adding to it humanity. Born of a virgin, never sinned, yet died the sinner's death. Took my failings upon him, my mishaps, my embarrassment, my shame, my guilt, and he bore it upon that tree. He became my very sin for me so that I can have in exchange God's righteousness and my sins can be cast into the depths of the sea. Oh, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Certainly, I'm a recipient of that myself, so I'm passionate about what's being written here. It is the beginning of that that I want to speak to you of, Rome, Mark would say. Let's get right to it. It is the good news. It is the glad tidings of Jesus. That means God who has become our salvation. Christ, that means the anointed one, the Messiah. And then he uses a third title for him. He is the Son of the living God. And he says, as it is written, he quotes the prophets here. He says, as it is written in the prophets, that Italian Malachi told us before, behold, I send my messengers before your face, that's speaking of Jesus, which shall prepare the way before thee. It's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And John did baptize in the wilderness. He preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And I love what it says in verse 5. And there went out unto him. It's amazing what God can do with one man who's filled with the Spirit. How one man who's filled with the Holy Spirit could accomplish more than a whole religious society can. People are leaving the city of Judea, Jerusalem, and they're coming down to where John is in the wilderness. One man. It's amazing when God has control of one man, what he could accomplish, his purposes that could be accomplished when just one man is under the governing of God's Spirit, more than a multitude of alleged men of God. There he is out in the wilderness. And if you've been to Israel before, like this is a real wilderness. There's nothing there. It's destitute. It's desolate. There's nothing there. Maybe a few weeds here or there. It's arid. It's open space. It seems like the desert goes on for miles upon miles upon miles. And there he is in this place, not seeking a crowd, but God the Spirit bringing the crowd to him because God has given him a message for them. And he's in this place, he's preaching this message of repentance and forgiveness and putting away of sins, and people are coming to him and they're being baptized and they're receiving forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me from verse 5 to speak to all of us tonight. I feel like this is another timely word that God would sort of seek to magnify for us. As John is in this wilderness experience and everybody is leaving all the creature comforts and familiarity to come to him to hear this news, I feel like the Lord has brought us to a wilderness experience. He's stripped us, it seems, or at least he's allowed us to be stripped up to some degree, not completely, he's been amazingly gracious, but to some degree, he's allowed us to be in this place of barrenness, it feels, this place of desert, this place of dryness. And I think that he's allowed it, if not for anything else, but for him to have our attention in a way that he couldn't have our attention should everything still be functioning as we've known it up till now. He's allowed things to be, even if this isn't conducted by him. I'm not saying that this is directly coming from him like it's some form of judgment, but he's allowed it. He's sovereign. And everything that has to happen, everything that happens, has to be filtered through his hand. And it's as though the Lord was ministering to me that as he's allowed this whole experience of wilderness to take place right now in the world that we're living in, if not for anything else, it's for God to have our undivided attention. As the church, certainly, I know for myself personally, there's been somewhat of an awakening. There's been somewhat of a sobriety that he's brought to me. I sort of felt to some degree like a machine, just constantly going through the motions of ministry and service and Bible reading and praying and just sort of my walk with the Lord. And this whole thing has sort of caused me to come to this realization of, Lord, this could be the beginning of the birth pains. Lord, from my understanding of your word and the things that you told us that would happen, that we're not to fret about, like wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, infectious deadly diseases, earthquakes, and all these other things, and the intensity of these things coming, Lord, you said that these things had to happen. The end is not yet, but to lift up our heads for our redemption draws nigh. And certainly, I feel like the Lord has taken his nail-pierced hand and just sort of gently lifted my chin to the heavens in the midst of this to look to who my help comes from. In a way that I don't think I would if things just continued to be smooth and easy. And I think that there is that purifying work that God's Spirit is wanting to do with this church. He's bringing us to the wilderness. I can tell you, preaching to a camera right now, that this is very wilderness-ish. And not having you here tonight. Just having to do worship without you. Grateful for the worship team. Grateful that we can still gather as a small group to lead you before the throne. But I'll tell you that attached to the magnificence of it all is almost a sadness that I think we're supposed to feel, a holy sadness. And it's not how this is supposed to be. And if we feel this way, certainly God feels that way, that this is not how it's supposed to be. It's the fallenness of sin that's caused these things in our world. And I just believe that he has a word for us tonight that in the middle of this wilderness season, this uncertainty, it's bleak as far as we can see it. We've got crazy mandates that are unprecedented. We've never seen it globally like this before. Certainly nationally, where the federal government has asked us, don't go out of our homes, shutting everything down around us. Financial security to some degree has sort of been rocked. Being able to socialize, anything that we would do that we would find comfort in, going out to eat, going to the bowling alley, going to a movie, whatever it would be, it's like it's been stripped from us like that. And it showed us here just how truly finite we are and incapable of controlling really anything that matters in the blink of an eye, in less than a week, you look at how drastically things have changed, and God's allowed all of this. He's bringing us to this wilderness experience because I believe that he's saying to us as his church what John said to these people some 2,000 years ago. Make your paths straight. You got some crookedness in your life. You got some sin in your life. And it's never a word of condemnation. If you read John's heralding as a word of like condemnation, then you read it wrong. It's never a word of condemnation. It's always a word of invitation. It's always a word when it comes from God's Holy Spirit. It's always a word of plea. It's never a word of like an arresting officer on the scene of a crime or on the scene of a car accident that's been severely impacting on others or something of that nature. It's always the tone of like a paramedic, a concern of broken bones and mending and making whole. And that's the crying out of God's Spirit, whether it would be through John or David, me tonight, or whoever it is that you would normally sit under. It's in the midst of this wilderness that God has allowed. Listen, that's where he's being found right now in this wilderness experience. If you're viewing tonight because you don't know where else to look, the outlook is bleak, so you're trying the uplook. You've been invited to watch this message. One of your friends tagged you on Instagram or Facebook, or maybe this is on Facebook. It's been shared, and you were scrolling through, and there I am. And so you stopped, and you saw a really tall man preaching the gospel. So you stopped, and you listened. And I'm even taller off camera. You should see me one day. But even in the midst of all of that, this is God pleading to you the same thing that was pleaded these thousands of years ago. And it's a message of invitation, not condemnation. And it's to straighten your crooked ways. It's to repent. But repent, it's taken on this negative connotation. Repentance is not a bad word. Repentance is a word of invitation at metanoia in the Greek. It's change your mind. Think differently than how you've always thought. Stop thinking the way that you've thought and stop going the way that you've always gone based on the culture or your upbringing or past religious experiences that have done you no good, but rather change your mind, do a U-turn, and turn unto God and receive the remission, the forgiveness, the purging, the purifying of your sins. That's the gospel. God's greatest deed, dying on the cross for our sins, is man's greatest need. Just that full forgiveness. God, you've forgiven me. I didn't earn it. I didn't do anything in order to receive your affection, your love, and your attention. But Lord, you just bestowed it upon me because you're kind and you're gracious and you're long-suffering and you're gentle. And you even allowed a whole catastrophe like this to happen because I would have never looked at you, God. I would have never at 8 o'clock on the dot on a Wednesday evening toward the end of March ever tuned into a Bible study. But I am now because of my circumstances, because of my bank account, because of my job security, because of my fear of a virus that's killing people. I am now, God, and it's only because of you that you allow these things to happen that now I'm looking to you. And God says, exactly, and that's all I've ever wanted. Now come close so I can shepherd you. So there's this whole message that went forth then. As antiquated as it is in time, it isn't in relevance. It's going forth today. God's Spirit, I believe, is crying out through his church if we're being faithful to his heart. The way that he did through John, this wasn't John's message. It was the Lord's message. It's not my message. It's the Lord's message. And he wants to speak through his heralders of his coming. Because as he came the first time, he's coming again. And all of those signs that I mentioned just a few moments ago are to lead up to his return. And Jesus, in the Gospels, as we study through, we'll see these things. It chronologically, it will only be a few years from this timeline of what we're studying tonight. But at the end of his life, on Palm Sunday, which we're nearing right now, he would ride in on a donkey. And as he would ride into Jerusalem, and all the streets were filled with people heralding him and declaring him, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and they're throwing down their cloaks and they're waving their palm branches. It tells us in the Gospels that Jesus would begin to weep. And essentially, as he's weeping over the city of Jerusalem, seeing the near destruction that would happen in 70 AD, but ultimately into the time of Jacob's trouble, of course, seeing futuristically, he weeps and he lets out why he's weeping. He says, had you known the day that was among you, had you really realized what was going on, you would be responding so differently in your heart. In other words, you didn't know Bible prophecy, and you should have, and because you didn't, you missed it. And the same thing could be said if God's Spirit doesn't get a hold of us on nights like tonight and into the near future, should he tarry. He's coming again. There should be a message of his coming, just like there was of the first coming. John should have been no surprise to the people. They were used to prophets' voices. It had been hundreds of years since they heard a prophet's voice. God sent this Levite, the son of a priest, to the nation, this cousin of Jesus to the nation, preparing them for his coming, declaring plainly and simply to anybody who wanted to hear it, there's no exemption. It's to all that would come. It was for them, this message of all you have to do is allow God to speak to your conscience, speak to your spirit. You don't receive the gospel with the intellect. You receive it with the depths of you, your spirit. Let God's Spirit bear witness to your spirit of his truth, and that you've thought wrong and you've went about it wrong all your days till now, and respond to this invitation, not condemnation, to turn your ways unto him, to yoke up with him, to yoke up with him. Anyone who's weary and heavy laden, he invites him to yoke up with him and go in the same direction that he's going, and you get to receive this eternal life so that you're ready for his second coming. And there will be no reason why you shouldn't be. Because like there was all the prophecy concerning his first coming, there's over 300 more prophecies concerning his second coming. A third of the Bible is predictive in nature. And what it tells us is for us to be able to say, oh, the Bible said this, the news is displaying that. Oh, the Bible said this, the news is displaying that. That must mean that people get ready. Jesus is coming soon and very soon, you see. And that's what God's doing in this wilderness time. Even if he tarries 5 years or 15 years or 50 years, we know that life is but a vapor. And this is an awakening for our nation. This is an awakening for our state. This is an awakening for our city. This is an awakening for our county and for our suburbs here in upstate New York. This is an awakening.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.